Welcome to Let's Talk Parish. Let's Talk Parish will be an opportunity to learn about some of the people that call the Cathedral of the Blessed Sacrament in Sacramento, California, home. My name is Chris, and I'll be the host for today's episode. Thanks for listening, and let's get started. Hello, Bob and Cynthia. Welcome to Let's Talk Parish.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, Chris.
It's great having you here. I've heard a lot about you. I'm looking forward to talking to you all today. Bob, I don't know you at all, but I see you all the time at Mass. Cynthia, today was the first time we've met, mm-hmm. So this is really a treat. I'm really looking forward to it. So let's go ahead and get this going here by asking the Lord to bless our time together. And Bob, you said you'd be willing to do that for us today?
Yes.
All right.
Lord, please give us the words and wisdom to express our faith, and let someone hear it and be moved along their faith journey with what we have to say. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Bob. So, I like to always begin at the beginning, and when talking to a couple, oftentimes the conversation bounces back and forth. So if we don't get to something in time, then we'll go back to it. But let's just start with Bob here. Were you baptized Catholic as a infant, cradle Catholic?
I was.
And we're here in Sacramento?
Here in Sacramento. Although I have a German last name, I'm actually Italian-American.
Oh, no kidding.
My father came to California during the Second World War and never saw any reason to go back to Syracuse after that. So we were very close to my mother's family, which were all Californians and all Italians.
I see.
I'm actually a third-generation Sacramentan. My mother's mother was born here, as was my mother.
Oh, wow.
Her father was from San Francisco and moved here to work in a drugstore. He was a druggist.
Which drugstore? Tower Drugs?
No, he was long before Tower Drugs.
Oh.
He worked first at a pharmacy called Anchor Pharmacy, which was on K Street, and mm-hmm. It's no longer there. Then he and my great uncle went into partnership, and they had the Bell Pharmacy, which is on 9th and P Street. It's no longer there. It's been replaced by a state building.
Oh, wow.
And then after that, he had the Central Pharmacy, which is right next to Vic's Ice Cream Parlor.
Oh, wow. Huh. So what parish did you attend when you were growing up?
We were the worst Catholics the world, I'm afraid. My mother actually had been divorced before she married my father. And in those days, there was no polite annulments. So she was kind of banished from the sacraments.
Oh,
she didn't go to church. My grandmother was probably the most devout person I've ever known.
Cynthia's nodding her head up and down.
Yes, absolutely. Very spiritual.
I think she prayed at least one rosary and usually two a day for her entire life.
Oh, wow.
But she seldom went to church.
Huh.
I'm not sure why that was. So it was my grandfather's job to take me to Mass weekly. You asked which parish we belong to. If we actually belonged to any parish, it would have been the Italian parish, which is St. Mary's of the Sea out on 56th Street.
Okay.
But that was too far to go to church.
Uh-huh.
So before the Italians moved out there, they had their church where the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe is.
Oh, uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So out of nostalgia or something, we often went there. And we usually went to the cathedral.
I see. So there really wasn't a parish that you could call your parish home.
Exactly.
Yeah. So then, how active were you then in the life of the church growing up?
I went to church weekly.
But you weren't like an altar server? Or
I was not.
Yeah, because it's hard. I guess if you're going to multiple parishes, it's hard to really sink your teeth into one.
It is.
Right?
And in truth, this was back in pre-Vatican II days, so everything was in Latin.
Oh, joy.
And I didn't understand a word of it. All the incense made my eyes water and my nose run. So it was a pretty miserable experience, all in all.
It's funny you say that. You know, sitting in the choir, we're quite close to the altar, and we sing at the 10 o'clock Mass, which is all the bells and the whistles, and I do the incense. And oftentimes I'll start sneezing, or that incense can sometimes be a little overpowering. But it is what it is, right? It's temporary, so.
Our cathedral manager keeps thinking it's going to set off the fire system. That hasn't happened yet.
There's a funny story. It was before my time, but we were doing a RCIA is called the Rite of Christian Initiation of Adults for people wanting to enter the church. And they were holding a little something, a prayer meeting or ceremony or something downstairs. And they'd lit an incense stick, thinking, you know, adding to the environment. And yes, it set off the fire alarm. So it was like, okay, you can't do that anymore. We can do candles, but you can't do the incense sticks. So, yeah, it's a little funny aside. So, Cynthia, were you... So we talked previously to this. I know it's comfortable for me to ask you this.
Yes.
At what age were you baptized in the Episcopal Church? Oh, you weren't baptized Episcopal. You were... Well, now, hang on a second.
I will get to the baptism.
Yeah, so...
I was not baptized until 1996.
Okay, so as a child...
But
the
as a child, I was raised in the Christian Science Church. My mother was a reader there. And... we had Sunday school. So okay. in the Christian Science Church, you don't go to church until you're an adult.
Oh, really?
But the Sunday school is extremely thought-provoking.
I see.
You, as a child, I marked the Bible. Every week there are readings in the Bible and the Science and Health, which was
Mary
Baker Eddy's book, Interpreting the Bible. And so it was my job to mark the readings, and then we would read those readings. So early on, we were immersed in the Bible,
okay.
in not only reading the Bible, but asked by our Sunday school teachers to interpret the Bible the best that we could.
Oh, wow.
So a lot
as
of
children.
Think as children.
How interesting. Uh-huh,
a lot of thinking involved. In that religion, and I think that was a plus about it.
Absolutely.
But about the age 12, which is where they have some kind of rite, which I don't recall what it is.
Okay.
I had what you might call an anti-faith experience.
Oh, interesting.
I just came to me. I knew that this was not my home. This was not my spiritual home, the place for me.
Mm.
I could not embrace all of the tenets of the church.
Mm-hmm.
All the time I'm having this, though, through years after that, too, God was always with me,
mm-hmm.
whether it was subconscious or conscious. So I embraced God. I just did not embrace the church. And so, but being in my mother's house, of course, I attended the church until I left my mother's house.
Were both your mother and your father involved in
My father
science?
Was raised Presbyterian. His family was Presbyterian. I was raised outside of Pittsburgh.
Okay.
At the age of 14, my parents got divorced, and we came out to California, Menlo Park, my mother, my brother, and I. My father did not go to a church. Only my mother went to church.
I see.
My mother continued in her faith, and so we continued with her in her faith until I went off to college, at which point I said, adios, church.
it's a common experience for a lot of people.
And I was in the vast wasteland for many years. In my 20s, I didn't care. I just didn't care about it. In my 30s, I started to get some kind of itch, kind of longing.
Well, let's put a pin in it, and let's bounce back to Bob here, because we've still left Bob in his childhood.
We did.
So we got to get him grown up a little bit.
That's
here.
Right.
Actually, my story is similar to Cynthia's.
Okay.
where we left me, my eyes were running, my nose was running. I wasn't understanding a word of it. I was miserable.
Sure.
They pretty much had to drag me out of bed each week to get me to church. So finally, I made a deal with my mother. I would stay until I was confirmed, and after that, I could do what I wanted.
Oh, my God.
So I did, and I'm very grateful to her, because if I hadn't been confirmed at that time, I'm not sure I would have had the endurance to go through RCIA as an adult, because that's a major commitment.
Yeah.
So from the time I was 12 until I was about almost 50, I did not go to any church.
Any church?
Any church.
Wow.
Although, like Cynthia,
you came with me.
That was when I was about 50.
Ah.
Yes.
Ah, see, we're joining. This is what happens with couples. What I know, just as an aside, just so you know, and I find it just the most adorable thing. Same story, different memories.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're remembering it through your eyes, and you're remembering it through your eyes, and it's not always the same, which says a lot about how our memories work, which are not always that reliable. But when we get both sides of the story, then we're closer to what actually happened. But Isaac totally expects stuff like that. So was God a part of your life at all during that time period?
Yes, I was always interested in theology and Christology.
Mm-hmm.
But I was not interested in organized religion.
I like to call it churchology.
Churchology.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, my faith at that time could pretty much be described in one sentence, which is, if God doesn't exist, man is on his own, and if man is on his own, we're in a lot of trouble. So God better exist.
Yeah, no, it's true. I know, I can identify with that sentiment, totally. Okay, so, but for you, once you bailed into college years, where did you keep up any type of like a prayer life, or did you continue reading the Bible, or just sort of like shelved everything and said,
No Bible, but certainly a lot of exploration into psychology, into theology a little bit. But I want to mention one thing, because it's going to come back in a later story, and that is, when Bob and I got married, we met at college at University of the Pacific.
Okay, in Stockton. Okay.
And we got married in a civil ceremony with a justice of the peace at my aunt and uncle's house in Portola Valley, in a beautiful, large garden wedding.
Oh my, beautiful.
So I was very happy at that point in time. But I mention it because I'm going to come back to it later.
Were you married by a justice of the peace?
We were.
Neither of us had any thought about having a religious ceremony.
No.
Yeah, it wasn't part of your life at that time.
No.
But we wrote our own vows, and we chose our own music. And so we had a lovely wedding.
Did you know anything about your own histories as far as religion went? Like, did you know that Cynthia was from Science of Mind? Did you know that
Christian Science?
Christian Science, rather. I did Science of Mind because that's part of my story, and they're very similar. Did you know that Bob had a Catholic upbringing, so to speak?
Yeah, it was hard to miss either of those things.
Probably so. But, you know, sometimes people don't, they're not always open about their past when they meet someone because of the fear of judgment or misunderstanding or what have you.
I think we assumed it was past.
It's all history.
I mean, it was in the past. We knew that. We knew that when we got married, but that was then, and this was now.
And it's not going to be an issue going forward.
Right.
It wasn't
going to be an issue.
Right. Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so
then after that, I mean, you know, nothing like Bob until about, I said, the 30s. And then I started going to, something was calling me, but I just didn't know what it was. But what happened when I was 30 was that I had my first faith, what I would call faith experience. And I was on a business trip in Europe with my boss.
Okay.
And we had some time. I was by myself. And I found myself, I don't even know how, in Pisa. And because we
Italy.
We were in Italy on the business trip. Sorry, in Florence. I think I took a trip to Pisa, and I walked into that church in Pisa, and I just was overwhelmed with the presence of God in that church. I had never been to a cathedral because Christian Science churches are very plain. And I felt like I had arrived home in a sense. That this was, I didn't know what it was, but there was something calling very strongly to me. I returned home and then kept exploring churches.
Now, I'm sorry to interrupt, but are you guys married at this point?
Yes, Bob was not on the trip.
Okay.
Bob, I was by myself with my boss. I returned home and kept searching. Then about 10 years later was my second faith experience. And I was in a long-term business class course, and we were studying aesthetics, which is very important to me. The beauty of the cathedral, that's very much a part of worship for me. And in the course on aesthetics, we were asked to share aesthetic experiences. And there was a woman in the course who was very active at Grace Cathedral in San Francisco. So she invited many people of the course to go up to Grace Cathedral. She arranged a meeting with the dean there. I can't remember his name, but he was Madeline Lengel's son-in-law, and he was there for many years. He sat us down and gave us a talk, of which I don't remember, and then took us into this beautiful cathedral church. And we experienced the service. Again, I felt, this is home.
Now, is Grace, is that?
It's Episcopal.
It's Episcopal.
Right.
Okay, so during this whole time, from your first religious experience, that's what we're going to call it, what did you think of, did you share that with Bob? Bob, what did you think about all that? Or did you think anything about it?
You know, she didn't talk much about her Pisa experience at the time, as I recall. I was actually with her at the Grace Cathedral lecture. And I knew that that had affected her life. And we had moved back to Sacramento at that time. And Cynthia reached out to the same woman who arranged the tour of Grace Cathedral and said, is there any church around Sacramento that would have a similar experience? And the woman said, oh, yes, there's All Saints by City College. The rector there used to be a priest at Grace Cathedral. I think you'd like him. So she started attending there. And at the time, my main thought is, this is kind of inconvenient. You know, it takes up half of Sunday.
So the trip to Grace Cathedral didn't impact you the same way it did Cynthia?
I found it intellectually stimulating, but not, it did not move my faith.
Sure. Okay. God reaches people different ways, at different times. Maybe sometimes the same way, but at different times. So this is your time, and God hadn't started actually tickling you. I keep getting these silly notices on my computer. So hang on one second. There we go. Technology is wonderful until it's not, right? Okay, so...
So at that point, Cynthia was had become a very faithful church attender.
I had found my home. It was my home.
The lady that set up the tour at Grace, was she here in Sacramento?
No. She was in the Bay Area, too, I think.
But she was
and
able
we
to
were
suggest.
Not. We were living in Sacramento at the time.
I see.
And so it still took me, I think, a year or so after that talk to figure out, okay, I know I'm not going to be going to Grace Cathedral every Sunday.
That's too far away.
But I need to talk to people. I went back to my friend Susan, and I said, Susan, do you have any ideas? And that's what she did. And so I started going to All Saints. I immediately joined the choir and sang in the choir for years. And the story then intertwines with us later on.
And so...
I got baptized.
Point when you really did want, you're fully committed, now you're going to be baptized.
Yeah. Here was the really cool part.
Okay.
So our goddaughter, we have several godchildren. Okay. We don't have children, so we have several godchildren.
Okay.
But our goddaughter here in Sacramento was baptized in the Episcopal Cathedral, Trinity Cathedral, mm-hmm. right, downtown. So we were her godparents. When it came time for me to be baptized, my girlfriend Susan, her husband Scott, and my goddaughter stood beside me.
Aww.
So my goddaughter loves to say that we're goddaughters and godparents for each other.
How fun. Isn't that beautiful? What a great share. What a cool experience.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wild. So, Bob, did you start going to the Episcopal Church with Cynthia?
I would go periodically.
But not into it?
I thought it was nice. I must say the congregation sings much better in the Episcopal Church than it does in the Catholic Church.
We're singers.
They really rock the place when they start singing.
Yeah. Well, and we sing just like what Rex does. I mean, we in choir, we sing Bach and...
Mm-hmm. You know, growing up, I grew up in the Episcopal Church.
Yes.
And that was one of my most fond memories. Mm-hmm. Is the music, mm-hmm. is the singing. You know, then eventually I ended up in the Baptist church, and again, that was the most enjoyable, was the singing. It's just like the hymns, you know, and I talked to Rex a lot about it. Prior to Vatican II, Catholics didn't write hymns. There are no Catholic hymns.
They have the Episcopalian hymns.
So after Vatican II, what they did was they started adopting other hymns. They just had to tweak the words make the theology fit, right? So a lot of we sing songs by Charles Wesley, mm-hmm. who is Methodist, and first they were Episcopalian and Anglican, became Methodists, you know, just varied backgrounds. But it's gorgeous music. And mm-hmm. the Anglican Church, I still listen to some of the Psalms as sung by the Anglican Church. Mm-hmm. They're just gorgeous settings. It's just gorgeous stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So, we're going to jump a little forward, I think, a little bit, but what caught your interest to get back in your faith, that re-sparked your faith?
Well, there were several things that kind of converged on me. For one, I was getting older. I was close to 50 at that time.
Ancient, huh?
And sort of when you see the finish line come into sight, even if it's a distance away, kind of changes your perspective.
You got more years behind you than you do in front of you, right?
Exactly. Well, I'm still hoping to be 140, but probably...
Good luck with that.
Probably my life is over, half over.
I don't want to live to 140. No, I want out of here before that, but you can stick around if you want to.
So that was one thing. My father had a terminal illness, and I really felt that I needed more support than I could get just from my family. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And also some things in the world where I thought in my teens and 20s that the Catholic Church was just being stodgy and kind of no fun. I discovered all of a sudden, hey, they were right about these things and I was wrong. Maybe I better take another look at this.
Wow.
But at the time I was thinking, well, maybe I should just go to the Episcopal Church because mm-hmm. Cynthia's happy there. But for our 25th anniversary, Cynthia wanted us to take a trip to Italy because that's my family's background.
I see, sure.
And no one the side of my great-grandmother had been back to Italy.
In a while.
It had been a while. So I went there and saw the incredible gift that Catholicism had been to Western civilization, and I decided I just could not be anything but a Catholic.
Was the cathedral in Pisa on the list of places to go?
We did go there. The whole Field of Miracles is what they call it, which is the Leaning Tower, the Baptistry, the Cathedral. And they have an incredible cemetery with a a remarkable piece of art called a mural called The Triumph of Death that
I've heard of that.
Moved me down to my very roots.
I'm going to have to look that up because I don't think I've heard of that. The Triumph of Death?
Yes.
Wow.
It was almost destroyed in World War II, and then it was rebuilt afterwards.
Wow.
One of the really incredible artworks.
Wow.
We also went to Florence, and there's a church across the Arno River from where the cathedral is that has a chapel called the, I'm going to get the name wrong, but it's something like Brancusi Chapel.
I'll take your word for it.
Which had three of the great Renaissance artists, Masaccio, Masolino, and Fra Lippo Lippi all did the artwork there.
Wow.
And when I went there, it's like one wall is life without God, the other is life with God. And
then you're stuck in the middle, right?
I would say, okay, I get it. This is what religion is for.
Wow. That's powerful, Bob.
And so after that, I began attending church regularly again.
So then you can come back to Sacramento after the trip, right?
Yes.
Yes. And did you immediately start attending Mass somewhere, or did it take some time?
It was pretty immediate.
Where did you go?
That's a good question, because I wasn't sure that I was really going to stay a Catholic, so I kind of snuck in the side doors of several churches.
Sit in the back kind of a thing.
Even though I had not liked the Latin Mass as a child, I started going to St. Stephen's, which is a Catholic Latin Mass church.
They would do the pre-Vatican II Mass.
Yes, the Tridentine Mass. I also really liked the Eastern Rites of the Catholic
Church.
Very
beautiful, yes.
Yeah, so I attended a number of those and even thought about making one of those my church.
Mm-hmm.
But they seemed like they were very ethnically based. And
I
felt I'd always be kind of a sore thumb, even though they were quite welcoming when I showed up. And then I went to Sacred Heart for a while because they have a really fantastic choir. And then I happened to be helping a friend of ours, Scott Nelson.
My choir master and organist at All Saints.
Oh, okay.
He was installing the organ here that we currently
The one that we
use.
Have now.
Mm-hmm. And when I walked into the cathedral, I was just astonished at how beautiful it had become. Because when I went there, it was very dark.
Mm-hmm. It was carpeted?
Yeah, carpeted.
And the dome had been sealed off?
The dome had been sealed off.
Completely different environment.
I remember even as a kid, I'd go on the outside and see this nice dome, and then you'd go inside and
Where is it?
Yeah, it looked like someone had put a bandage over it.
Oh, dear.
So at that point, I made up my mind that the cathedral would be my parish, and I've been here ever since.
Ever since. Do you remember what year that was?
Well, the church reopened 2005. In 2005.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. And I went with him to the other churches, which was fascinating. The Orthodox Church and the Latin St. Stephen's.
Okay.
You know, I'd go with him as he was checking them out.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
did you ever like compare them to the Episcopal service?
Well, the liturgy is very similar.
It's very similar,
right? So it feels like you're in the same. But
it's not that far apart.
Have you ever bought a home, or you know, looked to buy a house, and you walked into that home, and you felt, this is it. Mm-hmm. Or gone to a country or a city and this is where I need to live. Mm-hmm. I need to live here. That was the experience I had. So it was, in a way, unshakable.
Right.
It just felt right. It felt like, you know, a glove over my hand. I fit, a good fit.
Wow. Did you sing in the choir there at All Saints?
Yes, that's what I said. I joined, I went to All Saints, started going. The first thing I did was join the choir.
Oh, that was the first thing you did?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. And my choir master, Scott Nelson, I sang with him for years until I retired a few years ago because my voice isn't what it was.
Well, this happens as we age.
Yes,
right.
There was something else I was going to say. So, well, the one thing that I want. Well, we're not, I guess, to that point yet.
Well, we might be.
But I want to say, Bob did such a beautiful job of describing Pisa, much better than I did.
Oh, well, I don't know if it's better. But I've never been, so I'm trying to, you know, vicariously experience it through what you guys have to share. And I was curious, since that was your first, I would say, spiritual reawakening.
Yes.
Whether or not you're going to go back there to revisit that spot, you know.
Oh, Pisa, yeah. Yeah, we've been back a couple times.
Uh-huh.
Yes. The famous, was it Galileo who dropped the things off the tower there about gravity and all that stuff?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a lot of history there, too. Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. So what's it like sharing the faith of Christianity but not the same expression of Christianity?
You know, I feel so fortunate just because it's like I've been given two communities.
Hmm.
And I'm always very welcome here. And I come here maybe once or twice. But since I'm not in the choir, and I am a lay reader, but I don't do that every Sunday.
Okay.
So I will come here like I did today. And I'll tell you, the closest I've come to converting to Christianity, to Catholicism,
mm-hmm.
is through Father O'Reilly.
Oh.
That man he has the gifts, and he knows what the gifts that he's been given from
mm-hmm.
God,
mm-hmm.
and he emanates that in everything he does. He's such a spiritual leader. And I hang on every word of his homilies, and his singing is just beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing was, I don't know how to fit this in, but I want to get back to the wedding. Remember, I said I was going to return to the wedding.
Let's do it.
So, when Bob was in the church, he needs to tell his story at that point.
Yeah. So I was attending the cathedral regularly. I'd even become an usher here, but since I kind of snuck in the side door, I never felt that I was completely reunited with the church until I went to an Acts retreat.
Okay.
And the experience there and a conversation I had with Father O'Reilly made me feel, yes, I'm back. And one of the things we said there is, you know, Bob, the Catholic Church doesn't have anything against civil marriages in particular, but we like to recognize your marriage.
Right, because it doesn't recognize a civil union.
Exactly.
As a valid, so you got concelebrated.
Convalidated.
So,
Bob
came
home. It was gone something, I knew that.
Bob came home from the retreat, got down on his hands and knees, and proposed again.
Get out of here.
Yes.
Did you get another ring?
We did, from the florist.
Okay.
It was like just... Charlie Rush stood by Bob, and my girlfriend stood by me from UOP.
How beautiful.
And it was beautiful. It was, you know, it was a mixture of both churches. Scott play the organ. So Scott Nelson from
That's
my church
totally
played
cool.
the organ. Yeah, it was, and it was all because of Acts and because of Father O'Reilly. So before that, as I was in the Episcopal Church over the years, mm-hmm. the one thing I regretted was not having a church wedding. So when Bob proposed, little did he know, party!
Yeah,
big party!
Dream, sure.
Right. So we had lots of people come, and then we had a huge party afterwards, and I got to have my church wedding.
Yeah, it was a wonderful day.
It was fabulous.
That's awesome.
And Father O'Reilly consented to having two priests from Cynthia's church.
Husband and wife. We had co-rectors, husband and wife.
Yeah, because in the Episcopal Church, women can become priests.
Right. 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 The woman who was the rector is now the Bishop of Iowa.
Is she? Mm-hmm. Wow.
So we were convalidated by the Bishop of Iowa, so to speak.
Yeah. And I had the readers I had from my church came, and they were like in awe. Oh, gosh, we can
read. It was almost an ecumenical wedding.
It was an ecumenical wedding at all because of Father O'Reilly. I'm telling you.
That's pretty cool.
You guys are so lucky to
have
that's
a story I bet you most people have never heard.
Yeah.
That's pretty wild.
We hope we didn't get him in trouble.
What's the worst that can happen? Who's going to get in
trouble? We don't want him leaving.
No, I'm going to call the Pope. No, you know, it's that's really refreshing. And it would be really nice if there was more of that.
Yes.
You know, because the church, yeah, we have our differences.
Yes.
But when you get down to the bottom of things, we still believe the same as far as the essentials, right? God and Jesus is the Son of God. He is God, but he is man. He died on the cross for our sins, and et cetera, et cetera. And we let all these other things, you know, it was very interesting today that, you know, Jesus talks about division.
Mm-hmm.
That, because the division's everywhere, you know, and I think it's part of human nature to divide. Our egos get in the way, and we start disagreeing, and I'm right and you're wrong, and so I'm hitting the trail and I'm doing my own thing, and so a new church springs up or something, you know, good old King Henry VIII starting the Anglican Church.
Yeah.
But we've got a lot in common, and I've been to some ecumenical things here at the cathedral, and it tends to be the priests or the religious leader or whatever of that community, and rarely do the people of that congregation attend and get involved. So it would be nice, but that's often good to hear. And I was reading an article, just something about the Archbishop of Canterbury was acknowledging Pope Francis as, he didn't really say the head of the church because that's the queen, but that he was the father or the leader of the Christian church. That was an interesting thing to hear because for the longest time that they've been at odds, right? So that's kind of, you know, it'd be great if we could just fellowship together and share communion together openly, but that may be many years down the road. I don't know. What a great story. I'm kind of at a loss for words, and that's a rare occurrence. I guess I kind of want to ask, so, I mean, I understand, Cynthia, that, you know, they're just a hand in the glove. This is home. This is where I need to be. And I always support people. You obey God's call. If he tells you to be somewhere or do something, do it. Even if no one else agrees with you. If that's what God's saying, do it. And God reached you, Bob, through your trip to Europe and Italy about Catholicism. Had you ever entertained the thought of becoming Episcopalian?
I had. If Cynthia hadn't drugged me to Italy, I probably would have.
Oh, no kidding. Wow. How funny. It's funny the decisions we make and how they play out, isn't it? How funny.
There's an old saying that Episcopalian and Catholicism are 1 inch apart, but the chasm is a mile deep. So there's some significant philosophical differences.
There are.
I don't think I would have been happy as an Episcopalian. I think I would have ended up a Catholic at some point.
Anyway, yeah.
But we have the best of both worlds.
Don't you, though?
Oh, my gosh. It's just heaven.
The You know, I would love to call what Episcopalians do a mass because it's so close to what
it's
we
exactly,
do.
Almost exactly
but it's,
the same.
It's incredibly beautiful, mm-hmm. and there's parts of it that's actually more complicated than the Roman Missal as we do it now. But you know, and they have Evensong, which is beautiful. Mm-hmm.
And we have the Book of Common Prayer.
Which is like our Liturgy of the Hours in a way.
It's just the language is lovely.
Oh, yeah, because do they still use the King James English?
Elizabethan
English, mm-hmm. yeah. Which, you know, when it comes to literature, you can't beat it. I mean, the King James Version for all its...
Yes, King James. They don't use the King James.
It's poetry. It's beautiful.
It is poetry. We still use it. We'll be comparing several Bibles together, but no, our church doesn't use it anymore. I think they use International Standard.
Okay.
But Bob and I do the readings together.
Oh.
And so we will compare, like the reading that we had today in the Episcopal Church went on a little further. The gospel.
But basically, you use the same
pretty much
portions of scripture,
right? Because we have this similar liturgical calendars, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and so we read both.
Cool. You know, so
many times they're the same.
I heard one, it's a joke, and it's like, well, if it was good enough for James, the brother of Jesus, it's good enough for me. The King James Bible.
Yeah.
Pretty funny. It's like, yeah. I think you got the Jameses mixed up, but whatever.
But Chris, you know, I mean, when you're raised to think, you're raised reading the King James Bible,
mm-hmm.
and you don't let that be a block. You go with the beauty of the language.
Absolutely.
And also, it challenges you. It challenges you to think, okay, what is God really saying, mm-hmm. through the writers of the Bible?
Yeah.
You know, it's harder than just modern language.
It is harder.
Mm-hmm.
And I often encourage people to read different translations,
yeah.
because it's
not
good. The original language.
No.
But read the various translations, and every translation has a bit of a bias to it,
mm-hmm.
and they translate the word differently, but it can add insight to what the author was trying to share. And when it comes to King James, when I was memorizing scripture as a child, it was King James.
Mm-hmm, yes.
And I still, it's just, you know, Psalm 23.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Though I walk through the valley of death, thou shalt be with me.
Yes, yes.
And to read it in different translations, it's the same words, but it's not as powerful.
It's not as powerful. Mm-hmm.
Not as powerful. Yeah. Yay, though I walk. I mean, it's like, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, I will be with you. I ride my staff. They come, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just I have an appreciation for King James Version, the Elizabethan English. Even the hymn we sang today.
Faith of Our Fathers?
It could have been that one or the last one we did, but.
Oh, the Salesian one.
Where we say thee, mm-hmm. and then he said you instead.
Mm-hmm.
It just did very interesting. My memory remembers some of the old language when I see updated versions of the English, you know. So
yeah, when I come here to Mass, I found because you guys' responses and with your spirit.
Yes.
But I say and with thy spirit because I've got right one from the Episcopal Church in my mind.
That's right. That's right. You know, it's isn't that funny how our minds work that way.
But I like it. I like saying thy.
It adds a little extra dignity to it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. A little more formality to it.
Mm, true.
Yeah.
True.
Did you ever learn Latin, Bob?
No.
I took 2 years of Latin.
You did?
Mm-hmm. In high school, but I don't know.
Was it worth it?
Yeah, very much worth it. My mother told me it would be worth it, and she was right.
Huh. They discontinued Latin as a class in my high school the year I started high school, so they've been they were offering it up to that point. And why? I guess it's funny when you look back in the education of people like 100 years ago, Latin and Greek were part of what you learn,
mm-hmm.
you know, and for mm-hmm. a lot of the people, the book that they learned to read was the Bible.
Yes,
that was how they learned how to read. Things have changed a whole lot since those days, but I wonder how much of a difference
And let me just add at the end that I respect Bob's daily prayers that I will become Catholic at some point in his time and see the true religion. And by saying that even though I feel very strongly now, you never know in life.
No, you don't.
You never know.
No, you don't.
So.
Yeah, you don't.
So.
Neither of us knew we'd be here at this point in our faith journey.
No. Could not have predicted it.
Which is kind of exciting in a way, right?
Very exciting.
Definitely.
I mean, day by day by day, things just plod along. But when you look at it, things, big things happen, you know? And one of the fun things about me listening to people's stories is that as the story is recounted, you can see the hand of God in the things you couldn't see the hand of God at the time that they occurred. Mm-hmm. But you can in retrospect. Right. When that, to me, that's always exciting because there is something at work that's outside of ourselves. We can oppose it, but if we just embrace whatever life gives us, it can be quite an exciting journey, and it can take us places. Right.
That's so true.
Yeah. 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 So, how many godchildren do you have? I'm changing the subject completely here.
We think we have two, but we're told we have three.
Or four.
Yeah,
or four.
Oh, four, that's right, yeah. So the siblings of our godchildren, the parents just assume that we're the godchildren to the siblings, too.
Oh, no, that's funny.
Luckily, they're all grown now, and they're all on their own.
Yeah.
Any responsibilities we would have had are now over.
Yeah, and they're all good kids, so we did a fine job being godparents, even if we didn't know we were.
So, Bob, if someone wanted to find you at Mass, which Mass do you go to usually?
I go to the 10 o'clock Mass, and you can find me every week standing in front of the church handing out worship aids.
Saying, welcome, we're happy to see you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or as docent, giving an awesome tour.
Oh, you're a docent also?
He's the best docent. If you want the history of not only this church but Sacramento, go to his tour.
Huh. Oh, how long have you been doing that?
I think it's about 8 years now.
Wow.
Yeah, it took me 5 to become proficient.
There's a lot to know.
I think I have it down pretty well
this
now.
This building's got a lot of history.
It does.
And cool anecdotal stories.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Very cool ones. So, on the other hand, at All Saints. And where is that located here in Sacramento?
It's on Sutterville Road across from Sac City College, the parking lot there. It's a small Spanish-style church.
Okay.
It also has what I call a spiritual feel. It's got stained glass windows. It's got it used to have the second, I think it's the third largest organ in town because our choir master is a nut for organs and tunes them all.
It's this little church with this huge organ.
Yeah.
And do they have multiple services throughout the day?
They have two services, 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock.
Which one do you usually go to?
10 o'clock. That's like the 10 o'clock one here where the choir sings and...
Okay. Well, cool.
Before COVID, we live in Rancho Marietta, which is about 20 miles to the east of us. So we'd always come in together. Mm-hmm. I'd have time to drop Cynthia off at her church, go to the farmer's market, and then come to my church and be an usher.
And then I would walk. My service got over because you guys had 11 o'clock service
at that point. We did.
And we still had 10, so I was done. And so I'd walk sometimes almost all the way to the church.
That's a lot of exercise.
Oh, I loved it.
Wow.
And now since after COVID and we've moved our Mass down to 10 o'clock, we've reversed things. Cynthia drops me off at the cathedral, then she goes to her church.
I go to the farmer's market. Yeah.
Which farmer's market?
The one that used to be under the freeway that's now in Arden. Arden Fair.
That's right. They moved it, huh? Because they're doing all that construction work. That's kind of a strange place to put it, don't you think?
Yeah.
Under the freeway?
No, Arden Fair.
No, Arden Fair, because,
you know, you think that everyone...
It's hot.
Well, and everyone's used to going under the freeway. Mm-hmm. It's a very downtown, centralized place. And now, you know, and it's just weird. But anyway, Yeah, they had to. They had to do something with it, right? So.
Well, yeah, cool. And I'm active in my church. I'm on the vestry for the second or third time, which is our board of directors.
It's like the parish council.
We run the church.
It's like the parish council,
right.
In a sense.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And I've been senior warden, which I'm glad I'm not senior warden now because we're in between rectors, so we've got a calling out for a priest. And the senior warden's in charge.
Oh, wow.
And we have priests there who supply priests, and we have one priest who's there a couple of weeks. And I've been on the finance committee for years, too. So
wow.
I'm really thankful that we have time and the capacity to help each of our churches.
Sure. Yeah, and I'm thankful for Bob, what you do. You know, you always have a cheery face, a happy face, you know, when you're greeting people and coming in. And Cynthia, it's just a delight to see you. I mean, you're just bubbling over with enthusiasm and happiness. And this has been a great time to chat with you guys, get to know you better, and somewhat of a unique story. Not completely. I'm sure there are other people that have similar situations, mm-hmm. but not in my realm at all. Mm-hmm. I don't know people that are Episcopalian and Catholic, and it works because a lot of times it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if I remember right, the statistic is usually the husband ends up going to whatever church the wife goes to.
Mm-hmm.
It's great to see that it's working.
Mm-hmm.
And probably some of it's because they're so close together, Episcopal and Catholic mm-hmm. ways of doing things and thinking and theology and spirituality. So thank you very much for being here today and taking time out of your day. We got a late start. I didn't have time to set up before you arrived.
Mm-hmm.
You were graciously patient. And chatting with me about stuff. Is there anything you'd like to add before we bring this to a close today?
Yeah, actually, I have two things.
Okay.
I try and know everyone's name at Mass, so if I don't greet you by your name, come up and introduce yourself to me, and I'll do my best to remember from then on.
Wow.
That's one thing. We have an ACTS retreat coming up on November 10th through 13th. I know it did great things for my spiritual life, and I think it could help a lot of people. So consider signing up for that.
This is a men's retreat.
This is a men's retreat.
And they can sign up where?
We will be handing out brochures soon.
Here at the cathedral.
Yes, and you can sign up at the rectory.
Okay.
And when is the women's retreat? Next year sometime?
Yeah, it will be
probably
next.
Have you been on a women's retreat?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No, I can't convince her to be a Catholic, and I can't get her to the ACTS retreat.
You mean you can't go to the ACTS retreat unless you're Catholic?
No, you can't.
It's open to everyone.
Yeah.
Father's always trying to get me to go.
Of course he is.
Father would actually like to trade me to the Episcopal Church if they'd give him Cynthia in return.
Oh, that's kind of harsh.
No.
They're very good friends.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. All right, you guys. Well, let's bring this to a close. Did you want to add anything, Cynthia?
No, I'm good.
Really?
Thank you, Chris.
Okay, you're very welcome. Let us say the Our Father together, and then we'll be on our merry ways. All right? So in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Our Father,
who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the...
Go ahead.
The kingdom, the power, and the glory.
Amen.
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 In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know, it's funny, being raised Episcopalian, that was always added to the Our Father.
Yeah, it was.
And we will say that in Mass, but we say the Our Father, and then the priest has a little thing he says, and then we'll tag that on at the end.
Right.
But as an Episcopalian, that tag was always attached to the Our Father.
It was.
And so in my mind, I was right there. I have to stop myself
yeah,
sometimes
me too.
Because I want to continue on. Yeah, that's funny, though.
It is. It's just a different way.
You bring back some memories. Yeah, so cool. All right, you guys, have a great day. And maybe I'll see you again.
Hopefully
I will.
So.
Definitely see Bob again. All right. All right, you guys. Take care.
All right. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Let's Talk Parish is co-produced by Rex Rolanka, Titi Keela, and Chris Jensen. Our theme music is Live and Be Happy by Valentina Tribanova. You can listen to Let's Talk Parish by going to the Cathedral website at cathedralsacramento.org or by searching on your favorite podcast app. Wherever you find us, please subscribe so that you don't miss an episode. A special thanks goes to the rector of the Cathedral of the Blessed Sacrament, Father Michael O'Reilly. If you wish to donate to the cathedral, please visit our website at cathedralsacramento.org. There you will find a button labeled Donate. I'm Chris Jensen, and I have had the pleasure of being your host for this episode. Thank you for listening, and until we meet again, may God be with us all.